Speaking today with Diane Troutman, who is a Democratic candidate for Harris County Tax Assessor and Collector. Diane, why are you running for this office?
Well, quite frankly, I am running for tax assessor this time in 2010 to restore the public trust to this office, which I believe is sorely missing. I'm also running to make sure that everyone's vote counts. And basically, if you voted in 2008 for the tax assessor race, your vote did not count. And I'll tell you why. Paul Bettencourt received about 580,000 votes. I got about 520,000 votes. And the person that's in there now, Leo Vasquez, who was appointed, got zero votes. So I feel like people were cheated out of their right to choose their elected official. And now my new opponent, Don Saunders, says that he wants to follow in the footsteps of Paul Bettencourt. So does this mean he's going to quit 3 weeks after he's elected too? We don't know. I think everyone wants to make sure their vote counts, no matter what their political philosophy. I think they want to make sure the person they vote for actually takes office and serves. You know, it's crazy that we even have to talk about this, but because of what happened with Bettencourt, it is now an issue. And that's why all of my campaign literature and my signs all say, this time, make sure your vote counts. Vote Diane Troutman for Harris County Tax Assessor.
Let's just take a step back for a second, and I'm doing this with the county offices. What exactly is it that the tax assessor does? The name is pretty suggestive, but you're talking about voting stuff. So please, what are the duties of this office?
There's really a lot. In fact, I just went to Wednesday, online controllers webinar, the duties of the tax assessor, and there's some that would be very surprising to you. But basically, the Harris County Tax Office oversees a property tax base approaching $300 billion. Annual tax collections of $5 billion, and the registration of approximately 1.8 million voters. And this is very important because when you look at our total population, the percentage of eligible voters that are currently registered is somewhere around 60 to 65%. Compare this to Travis County, that has about 95%. So, basic duties are tax collection, vehicle registration, and voter registration. But most people are not aware that the tax assessor is also the voter registrar. And that's so very important because it ensures the right to vote for all of our citizens in Harris County. I feel that Harris County should be leading the way in setting the standard, and yet we were just sued for voter suppression activities twice now, in fact. So those duties are the basis of it, but there are some other unusual duties too. In fact, the duties of the tax assessor are set out in several codes. The Texas Constitution gives the basic job description, the election code, the tax code, the alcoholic beverage code, and the Parks and Wildlife Code.
I didn't see that coming.
Well, there you go. The alcohol and beverage code, because that office collects the taxes on that, and licenses too. And the Parks and Wildlife, because the tax assessor also titles the boats and trailers that go with that as well.
Okay. As you alluded, you ran in 2008. What would you say you learned from that campaign, and how does that affect your campaign this year?
Well, I think the biggest thing I learned, Charles, is that no matter how much you campaign, there's a whole segment out there that still doesn't know your name. So name ID strategy has got to be even bigger this time. 500,000 votes, true, last time, but I believe there was still areas of the county that did not know who I was. And that's not good in a big year like 2008. So we started off early. We got our signs out early, and basically it is Troutman in letters. Anything else, you know, we want you to know the name. We started a phone banking project in the middle of summer. just calling people and introducing them to me. These are independents who have never voted in the primary, the typical scoring, I think, that the coordinator's doing, too. And we just introduced them to these people and said, you know, if they were in a positive response and supporting me, we will call you back again for early voting. And we have had a really great response with that people. It was like block walking, but on the phone. They asked for signs, for literature, and we gave them all that. And some of them even gave house parties in their neighborhoods. So yet another way to get that name ID out there. So we're working very hard this time around, and we're not going to lose by 50,000 votes again.
All right. As you also noted, the person you ran against in 2008, Paul Bettencourt, won, and then a couple weeks later decided he'd rather be in the private sector. So we have a new assessor, Leo Vasquez, who will not be on the ballot because he lost the Republican primary. What if anything do you see are the differences between the offices run by Bettencourt and the offices run by Vasquez?
Not much. In fact, as we know, just yesterday, Texas Democratic Party just filed yet another lawsuit for voter suppression activities against Leo Vasquez. And this was because, and I think people should know this, he provided Tea Party groups with documents and voter applications, which he refused to provide to the Texas Democratic Party and the public during the discovery process in the original lawsuit. Now, this amazes me that this can still happen, but it reminds me so much of what happened with Ed Johnson. And as you recall, Ed Johnson, of course, was employed during Bettencourt's term and was in charge of voter registration. He was also in charge of that same thing under Leo Vasquez, at least in the first year. And we all know what happened there. He was caught selling people's personal voter registration information to a political consultant. And, you know, Leo Vasquez supported him in this. I, in fact, almost a year ago, a little over a year ago, this month, told the Chronicle I called for his resignation immediately. Why would you keep somebody on who has, you know, let down the people's trust in that office by selling their information? But Leo Vasquez went on record in the Chronicle saying he saw nothing wrong with it. In fact, you know, he supported him in it, which was unbelievable. But the same thing, I see a same parallel there as what happened there is happening now with this lawsuit. First you say, no, you can't see it, then you say you can. In his settlement agreement, which he signed less than a year ago, agreeing to the terms of the settlement, he promised to run his office in a nonpartisan manner to the end of his term, but now he has broken that promise and violated the agreement. So, again, I just feel it's so important that we need to take the politics out of the tax office, run a service organization, and certainly protect people's personal identities.
Now, of course, Vasquez, the lawsuit, which, among other things, alleges that Vasquez has been improperly sharing or, shall we say, unfairly sharing information with a partisan group, came after charges made by Vasquez that a different group, Houston Votes, had been submitting fraudulent voter registration applications as part of a concerted drive they're doing to register more voters in Harris County. He alleged there were multiple applications filled out for people, that there were applications that had incorrect data on them, there were applications for people who were at bogus addresses, who were underage, who weren't citizens. You know, what was going on with that?
I couldn't answer that. Fred Lewis could. You know, I think in any voter registration operation, you're going to have a percentage of mistakes or errors. Let me just take both sides. Anybody who is truly caught in violation and has committed voter fraud should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But let's look on the other side. It is the job of the tax assessor and voter registrar office to screen these applications. No fraud has been committed simply by submitting 6 applications from the same name. Maybe they thought that's what they had to do because they were afraid they weren't on the voter rolls. Who knows? Some of the things sounds like, you know, Houston Votes maybe got a little sloppy with their, you know, people that they hired, and I think that they've looked into that from what I understand. But if there is a shred of evidence that somebody committed voter fraud, prosecute. But I don't see any so far. And again, I don't work for Houston Votes. I don't really know how they run their organization. But I think at this time, we want to make sure that people who are submitting applications are given the full consideration of our voter registrar. We don't want to let one person's vote not count.
Let's take a step back from this. I mean, as you say, Harris County has a lower proportion of registered voters than some other counties in Texas, such as Travis. We've got third-party organizations, and of which Houston Votes is just one, that run voter registration drives. Legal Women Voters does it too. There's others out there to try and combat this. I guess the question is, since the voter registrar is in charge of handling voter registrations, what responsibility does the voter registrar have, if any, to enable voter registrations? Mm-hmm. You know, should the job of getting people registered fall, in some sense, under the voter registrar? Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about outreach to the community about the voter registration process.
However you want to interpret that.
Which has long been something that I feel we need in this county. Being a former educator, I believe an informed electorate is the most positive step we can take. Now, should you push people to vote? I think you need to inform them of their opportunities, of the places that they can go. Again, I'll switch to Travis County. Mobile voting. Mobile voting or voter registration application centers. Any HEB in the whole area of Austin, you can go in and pick up an application with a postage paid envelope. How accessible are we making it? Do we push it? That's a fine line. But are you making it accessible? And are you making it accessible to the people who have in the past been the most disenfranchised? And I would say those are our elderly, our poor, and in neighborhoods where none of our outreach ever goes. Okay. So I believe we have to make it more accessible. And I have several other ideas to improve voter registration, too. I would like to adopt a clearly written policy for substantial compliance, similar again to Travis and Dallas County, that prevents rejection of applications on these hyper-technicalities. You didn't stop the word street, you put ST. You have a hyphen in your last name. These are things that really do get in the way of honest, hard-working citizens staying on our rolls. And I believe Representative Scott Hochberg tried very hard to get legislation passed on this.
I believe he did get it passed, and it was
and
vetoed.
And it was vetoed by our Governor Perry, who in the veto, the wording, there were typos. A little irony there. So I think we need it. I would also like to create a deceased family member notice and coordinate distribution through the funeral homes, hospitals, and probate courts to ensure that deceased voters are taken off the rolls. Again, Travis County has a similar form. I believe our notice of incompletes need more direct language. Let's have it say the exact error that was made instead of choosing from a list of errors. Again, that's confusing. And that was part of the original lawsuit settlement, too. I would like to monitor the process in which DPS registers voters through the motor voter law. Many complain of never receiving their voter registration after applying through this process. And I think this is a very important area to look at because approximately 61% of all voter registration is done through the DPS. Finally, I would really like to do more outreach to our youth. they are our future, and I think the sooner we engage them in the electoral process, the better. I would like to have a pilot project, once I'm elected, of five large area Houston high schools, and my goal would be to have 100% of 18-year-old graduating seniors registered by the time they receive that diploma on graduation day. Many people aren't aware, but in the election code, it does specify that every high school principal is automatically a deputy voter registrar. This could be very instrumental in encouraging our youth to get involved and register. They can designate a parent or a teacher on that campus to be a deputy voter registrar for them, and they may only register the people that are 18 or over at that campus. I think it would be great to combine the project with a government lesson, government teacher, make it count, and have special networking events for the kids with elected officials.
Now, recently, County Judge Ed Emmett made a proposal that will be brought to the consideration of Commissioner's Court later this month to take the elections-related responsibilities that are currently in the tax assessor's office, which is voter registration, and the county clerk's office, which is basically running the elections, and combine them into one office, which would be an appointed elections administrator's office, as some counties in Texas, such as Bexar County, have. What is your opinion of this?
Well, Charles, the main reason I'm against it is because there is no accountability to the voters. The accountability is taken from the hands of the voters and given to a small handful of party bosses. This person, this new position, would be accountable to a handful of party bosses because the position would be appointed. This position could not be fired by the voters, but only by, again, the same small group of party bosses. Now, looking at the current situation in the tax office with their appointed leader, things haven't worked out so well in the past with appointments. So I would think that it would not work for something as important as our elections. Our elections are too important, I believe, to entrust to an appointed crony who has no accountability to the public. And additionally, at a time when we have a hiring freeze in the county, people have lost their jobs and county annex offices have been closed, I do not think it is fiscally responsible to add yet another layer of government at this time.
Okay. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about the current tax assessor, Leo Vasquez, but as we noted, he will not be your opponent in this election. He lost the primary to a fellow named Don Sumners, who was the county treasurer back in the 90s. What do we know about Mr. Sumners?
Well, the big difference between the two of us is that I want to run the tax office as a service organization, and he wants to run it as a political machine. My opponent has built a reputation as someone who wants to do everyone's job but his own. I think we all have people like that where we work. When he was in office, he was constantly getting in trouble for weighing in on issues that had nothing to do with his office. And while he was busy trying to do everyone else's job, no one was doing his. And as a result, the county got fined $62,000. We simply can't afford to spend more of our tax dollars on negligence by our public officials. That's why, instead of using our tax office as a partisan political platform, as he wants to do, I will run it as efficiently and as cost-effectively as possible, like the true service organization it should be. Here's the way I see it. Paying taxes is a painful experience. My job will be to make that experience as painless and as efficient as possible. When taxpayers come through the tax office doors, I want them to know four things. Number one, I will work hard to do more with less in this time of shrinking budgets and declining revenue. Number two, I will ensure that your personal identities and personal information will be protected and will not be offered for sale, as has recently been the case on tax office employees. Number three, I will make sure the tax office treats all people with the fairness, integrity, and respect due hardworking taxpayers. Grievances will be taken seriously and will not be rejected, or laughed at without even listening. Finally, as your voter registrar, I want to build a true service organization instead of a political machine that seeks to tip the scales in one partisan direction or the other. I simply want to do the job you elect me to do. And by doing that, I will avoid the controversy and the lawsuits that have unnecessarily wasted millions of our tax dollars.
Diane Troutman, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure.